Again, I believe with all my heart that one of my calling in this time in my life is to make things as simple as possible. And I thank God for all the people who are getting new truths, deep truths, revelatory truths, coolest sounding truths. But God just called me to tell the old story and to do simple things and to make it easy. I think prophetically, one of the things we see in the natural is that people get older, they move into their second childhood. Unless you become like a little child, you can't explore the kingdom of God. And as I shared with you last night, when we came back from Africa, not this last time, but the time before, because I went there not just looking forward to going and doing what we were going to do, but to ask the Lord to help, to do something in me to bring back what they had. And Lord, one of the things he spoke to me about was about becoming childlike. And those of you who are CTKers, we were studying some through Mark and that kind of thing, and the Lord spoke that. He said very clearly, he said, the truth is that it has to get more simple. You hear me? Let me just say this something to you. I have a standard, and that standard is the Bible. My experience isn't my standard. The Bible is my standard. That's why this church canonized the Scripture. So it wasn't just dependent on somebody's experience. I love experiences. We're created to have experience, right? And in my walk with the Lord, as time has gone by, the Lord has just been making it more and more simple. And one of the things I've become more and more convinced of, and I celebrate everybody's story, because there are people out there who have stories and they're just moving in some amazing things, and I'm so grateful. But one of the things this is just, what I'm going to share a little bit tonight is just my slice. I don't know what else to say, but it doesn't make it better than anybody else's slice. Probably not near as good, you know, but it's just what God is, what I see. And that is that when I read the Scriptures, in this process of seeking this thing out, you know, when I read the Scriptures and I see the example in the Scriptures of the disciples, and I see that they're so much like us. They blew it, they messed up, they didn't believe, they cut ears off, they sat in the boat, didn't walk on water, sank when they walked on the water. You know, Jesus rebuked one of them, said, what you're saying is of the devil. He rebuked him, called him Satan. That's Peter. But I see all that stuff, but I watch these guys, and when I see them at Pentecost getting filled with the Spirit, immediately, they're walking in the highest level of anointing, Christ-like anointing, in the signs and wonders that you can possibly walk in. It seems so simple. And in the process of trying to get to those places, those biblical and apostolic expressions of the ministry and the life of Jesus, we sometimes have a tendency to make it so hard. And when it's not so hard. And so for my story, it's got to be simple. Just even biblically, when I see it, it's just got to be simple. Doesn't mean there won't be extravagant things happen to you, but there's something simple. And the word that the Lord spoke to me again, and I've shared this twice this week already, is that when... I'll tell that story in just a minute. Here's what I want to do first. Do something simple. This was written maybe 100 and... what year is this? 2015, maybe 125 years ago. And so I just got it and just redid it. And with Karen's help, with Ron's help, just redid this thing and then added some stuff to it to make it ours. But it was written for our children. And then God used it in a broader way for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people. And one of the great moves of God in church history. And so when I saw it, I'd never seen it before. And I'm a real student of church history and moves of God in church history. It's been one of my fascinations and fixations. Because I want to see what God does. Everything God does isn't innovative. You really need to hear that. God builds on things. He builds on things. Which means he doesn't leave the things behind. He just builds and adds to. God speaks words and they're all eternal. Do you realize that? Yes. Amen? Yes. So they're, now he may speak a particular thing to a particular generation, but it never, it's still building on stuff. And so I love to read things in the past because I want to know what God said. And therefore I know that what he's saying, if it's a general word, it's not going to contradict what he said. God's not confused. It's going to add to it, maybe have some nuances for every generation, but still. Anyway, this is a thing that I think can be helpful because our deal this week has been to make it simple. My priority has been not first and foremost for you to be released at a higher level of healing ministry. Is that God would change your life and you would understand how to experience and express the fullness of Christ. Well, that's going to include healing ministry. Now, this is a healing conference. We've told those stories. We'll tell more stories. We want to see God do stuff. We're going to have an impartation thing tonight. But my real issue is that if we've said this again and again, it's more important what God does in you than through you, because if you let God do in you, all he wants to do in you, what he wants to do through you is limitless. And you matter. You can quench the Spirit. You really can. And grieve the Spirit. You really can. And so for me, it's my priority is that you and I learn how to steward the grace of God. Because the God of limitless supernatural ability abounded already all grace to you. That includes the grace of the ability of Jesus to heal people. All grace to you. That you always having all sufficiency in everything may abound to every good work. And healing ministry is one of the good works, right? So I just, like I said to somebody today, I think if you get the wheel, and so you have this hub in the middle, all the spokes come with it. And it's Jesus and all these things he gets to do. So that's been really my priority. And so this doesn't seem to have anything with healing ministry, but it does. I think it has to do with everything in the Christian life. And it's so simple. So Ron or whoever is going to pass these out to you. So my prayer for you is that God will just use this to help you, or you can pass it on to your children. But it comes to that place again in me to make it simple. It's called the circle of his presence. We use this in Brazil to kind of seal the deal and what we were trying to teach them about the fullness of Christ in them and through them, and the Lord really used it. I kind of put it together for the youth group. TC had asked me to put together this chart I'd done many, many years ago. I have no copies of that left, and I could never reproduce it. And this is, I think this is more represents a simpler thing. Okay? So if you look at this page, everybody in the middle, look at me, then you can look back down. I'll give you chances to do that. In the middle, in the center of your heart, this is a person who's experiencing and expressing the fullness of Christ. Christ-likeness. Now, if that's not what you're after, then you're wrong. And you're in a dangerous place. Because the scripture says every one of you share the same destiny. It's a predestiny. You didn't get a vote. He thought it up. And your predestiny is to be Christ-like. And healing ministry is just one of the expressions of Christ-likeness. Alrighty? But if you're in hot pursuit of some particular thing, and that's it, that's all, then you're missing it. And the enemy will deceive you. You'll end up discrediting the ministry, actually. So here you have a throne and the I Am Jesus sitting on the throne. And then this little picture underneath, this was my idea. Karen did the best she could. But this is a person bowed down, but in a resting position under the Lordship of Christ. And then you have all these things in the inner circle, things like, I am your holiness. I am your keeper. That sounded Roman Catholic, didn't it? I am your holiness, but I didn't mean it that way. I meant Jesus is your holiness, okay? I am your keeper. I am your all sufficiency. I am your purity. I am your hope. I am your fullness. I am your righteousness. I'm your wisdom, your life, your victory, your ability to forgive, your way, your comforter, your glory, your patience. Jesus doesn't give you patience. He is your patience. I am your patience. It's all grace, and grace is a person. It's part of the function of the person, right? So we talked about that today. If we look at it in the context of like a smartphone, I have an app for that. You have an app for this. You have an app for this. These are all the apps. But they're just examples, some of them. I am your anointing. The anointed one is Jesus. I am your power. You want to walk in more power? Then you have to rest in the I am. You can't get more power than Jesus. And 1 Corinthians 1 says, and he is the power of God. He didn't say he is a power of God. He said he is the power of God. And you have an app for that. Grace. He says he's abounded all grace. That's part of grace, right? You have been, past tense, blessed with every spiritual blessing. Is power a spiritual blessing? Is anointing a spiritual blessing? Is the ability to forgive a spiritual blessing? On and on and on and on. And it's all a free gift. That's why it's called grace. And it's all in the person Jesus. Remember our definition of grace again? We've expanded it a little bit over the last little while. Well, probably forever. It'll be like a three-minute sentence. I mean, you can't exhaust the grace of God. It's just amazing. But God's limitless... what was the next word? God's... No, you're getting it backwards. God's... Well, I can do it this way. I'm not trusting anybody. Somebody's already messed it up, so... I'll read it to you. I got it written here in the book. It's God's limitless affection, acceptance, activity, and ability as a free gift in the person of Christ toward you, for you, to you, in you, and through you. Amen? So here's this thing. And so here are all these just different examples of who Christ is to you. All the grace, just examples. But if you look on the outer circle, they're like, these are doors that are open. All right? And they're doors called like insensitive to others, unforgiveness and bitterness, exaggeration. God, that's one for preachers. Worry, anger, lust, envy, pride, gossip, jealousy, rebellion, irritability, selfishness, criticalness, resentment, complaining, vanity, revenge, unbelief, disrespect, fear of man, on and on and on. But again, those are just examples, right? And at any point in your life, from this position of absolute restful surrender, you can walk out of these doors. You have a choice. It's a love relationship. And when you do, if you find yourself in a place where you just know something's not right, even. Sometimes we walk out of doors, we don't even know we walked out of doors, right? But it's the peace of God that governs our heart. And sometimes you'll go through things and you'll say, Lord, what's the deal? And he'll just say, this is warfare. Don't pay attention to it. Just diseased emotions. Just walk it out. But sometimes we can pray, Lord, what door did I just walk out of? And he'll say, that critical thing you just said, oh man. Or you were just really unkind or impatient, or those lustful thoughts or prideful thoughts, those statements of self-promotion or whatever, you know? It's not about being paranoid. And so what we did, we added this little thing on the back. Now, the front one is just to help remind you of some of the things we're learning, who Jesus is to you. Not could be, hope to be, but this is, he is this. And these are some examples of just the things you can restfully thank Him for, minute by minute, in Christ. Thank you for your peace, Lord. Thank you that I have your joy. Thank you. You're going in this situation, circumstance, whatever. But here, it says, returning to the circle of His presence. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9 and 11, you can go and read that about repentance. These are Dutch doors. Did them this way on purpose. Now, if you go out to dinner Dutch, that means you got your part, they got their part, right? And in returning to that place of rest and drawing from the one who is everything, the place where you're once again appropriating the grace, all these doors represent a grace. There's an app for that. When you walk out a door, there's an app for that. There's a grace of forgiveness. But the thing about, so here are some examples. Let's just say you walked out of the door called bitterness. Or maybe shame and condemnation. That's a sin. If you've confessed, if you've blown it and you've confessed, you're still wallowing in that, that's unbelief. And so we'll use like unforgiveness or bitterness as an example. You found yourself, you got hit with thoughts, and instead of standing and thanking Jesus that He's your victory over that, that He is your, and you thank Him for the grace to love that person no matter what. But instead, you allow this thing to kind of nest, and you find yourself entertaining bitter thoughts and anger, imaginary conversations in your head, then you've walked out a door. Doesn't mean that Christ isn't in you. Doesn't mean that you aren't in Christ. It just means you aren't in a position of receiving and experiencing and appropriating all that He is for you. You with me? It's the Holy Spirit who makes that real. And so you have this place. And so what do? You go back through the same door you walked out of. These are all doors that are called grace. And so you go, well, how do I go back? How do I get back in that place experientially of just knowing His presence and appropriating His fullness? You go back through the same door you walked out of, and so you confess that sin. And He'll be faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you. Right? But because I wrote it as a Dutch door, because I see so many Christians cop out. And they'll say, well, it's like a formula. I confess my sin, but without any intention of any surrender, there's no repentance, there's no brokenness. Remember what I said to you last couple of days? Revival, the foundation of revival isn't the roof blowing off. What did I say? It's the bottom falling out. The foundation is a heart of repentance. It's not introspection, but surrender. Repentance is just up-to-date surrender. Contemporary surrender. You know? And every time they preach the gospel, they would start off with, repent for the... Because it's foundational. It's like the first word. God has a sequence. And so you got to go low. It's the word Heidi Baker uses a lot. You got to go low. You can't just haphazardly and irresponsible go, well, you know, there's an attitude of brokenness and yielding that place to the Lord. Not, well, I'm sorry, I'm back in. There's got to be a place of surrender. And so there's His part, but there's your part, Dutch doors. And your part is a confession that has an attitude of repentance and surrender. Now that's the old story. Every revival in church history that was sustainable or lasted longer, or in a person. And it's not just about getting a fresh buzz every week. That's sustainable in the daily issues of life. Has as a foundation surrender, transparency, a holy brokenness that brings such freedom. Okay? So that's just a simple thing. Maybe it'll be helpful. And if it's not, if it's way under your head, then use it with your children or your grandchildren or your nieces and nephews. Alrighty? I'm going to take one Wednesday night here soon and just do that with the kids, because it just gives them something. Fold it up and put it in your pocket. Carry it around and go, oh yeah, Christ is this to me. All right, and these are just examples. Where he's this, too. He's also this. He's my security. I'm to give in this insecurity. That's the old man. Christ is my life. He's my victory. Thank you, Lord, that you are my security. That's how the Christian life's walked out, right? Amen? But if I walk out of the door, I just confess it for what it is. Don't, you call dirt, dirt. One of the persons that God really used in, was a man named Milton Green. Any of you remember that name, Milton Green? He was a Baptist carpet cleaner who got really sick and almost died. He believed what the word said. People came and prayed for him. He got healed. And he had such an impact for a few years in people's lives. He ran a lot with James Robinson and Dudley Hall and Jim Hilton, people who had such an influence on Chuck Pierce's life. They were all spiritual mentors in his life, and ran with Wimber and those guys. And this guy was the simplest teacher, but he would just read scripture. He would memorize a gazillion scripture. And he talked about, he said, you know, as an old carpet cleaner, I had to so many times going after my crew and make them do it all over again because they wouldn't call dirt, dirt. The blood of Christ can't cleanse excuses, but it will cleanse sin that's owned as sin. Amen? And so hear me. Now, I'm a bug-eyed, go-for-it, no apology, charismatic, you know? But it frightens me some, I see in the charismatic movement, an irresponsible manifestation of what is called the fullness of Spirit. Not as a whole, not in the people you would all respect and love, but I see it in the file and rank a lot. They won't call dirt, dirt. They even reinvent language so that it's not sin. Well, God told me to. Well, no, he didn't. Couldn't have. Impossible. Unless he's on medication and has forgotten what was real. We don't get to reinvent Christianity at every new meeting. You with me? So I want us to be bug-eyed, crazy, go for it. No apologies. Fullness of Christ. Fullness of Christ is awesome, extraordinary, it's crazy, it's awesome. But it's going to be holy too. Because if Jesus is living his life in you and through you, it's going to look holy because he is holy. And it's a holiness of freedom and joy because he is, it's him, it's grace. It's not struggle and achievement, right? Amen? Okay, you all look bored, so this was boring so far? Maybe that'll help you. I think it's my voice, Mark. I think it's the, at some point. There you go. Thank you, Mark. Winn-Dixie music can only thrill you so much, and that's kind of... Let me talk to you what we're going to do tonight. My intention tonight wasn't to preach a sermon. I'm tired of hearing myself preach, and you probably are too. Just some practical things. I think this can be helpful. Just a nice visual reminder. If you're outside the circle, just ask God, ask the Holy Spirit, which door did I walk out? He'll show you. He's faithful. Don't dig around, introspect. Doesn't need your help. And if he doesn't show you anything, then you go, okay, it's just diseased emotions. I'm not outside the circle. Right? And you keep walking, and your emotions will get healed. Let me talk to you a little bit about impartation. Without doing a lot of scriptural stuff, I'll just give you one example. Again, we've talked about this in the past, Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, the same people plus some others who got filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2 got filled with the Holy Spirit again. Rocked the whole house, right? Remember that story? And so when one of the words the Lord gave us around here was, you got to go through door number 4 for more. And now the more isn't that you don't get more. It means that you take more of what you got. Because you got all grace. That's either true or not true. Again, the church is the fullness of him who's filling all at all the time, and he's in all. You may not walk in it, you may not appropriate it, but it's true. The Bible says it. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, we looked at it at the end, he's the fullness of Christ is what God's after. And then in verse 10 it says, and he's done it, he's filled you. Again, Colossians 2, 9 and 10, for all the fullness of deity is embodied in him, and you have been, past tense, made full in Christ. Abounded all grace, it's all past tense. And so, in some of those places, like the Colossians 2, 9 and 10, again, it's perfect tense. Completed action in the past with continual present tense results. And so though we've been given all the fullness of Jesus already, some of us are not walking in the present tense experience of it. Because it just gets bigger every day. Not that you get more, just you enter into more and more and more. It's the unsearchable riches of Christ. You've got all the riches of Christ, right? He became poor so that you might become rich. You've been made complete. Been made. You can't get more complete than complete. All that he is, you already got. Came standard equipment. But we don't always walk in all that. And so what happened for me, about impartation. Impartation is basically if, let's just say if Aaron is walking, we'll use like gifts of healings, but maybe in inner healing ministry. Aaron's walking at that at a high level. So he's appropriating at the all grace at a higher level than I am. So one of the shortcuts that God gives us is to say, you know what, Aaron? I got the same grace in me that you got. And so I want you to lay hands on me because you're walking in a level of faith. Remember what we said? Every day the Christian life is discovering the limitless of God's grace and the possibilities of faith. So I had to see that he's appropriating at a higher level than I am, therefore manifesting the fullness of Christ in that ministry, or best or say deliverance ministry. And so that may not be my particular calling. You know, we said the other day, like Father Mark has this real calling on him, healing ministry. It doesn't mean that you don't have the same grace in you, but God will use different people and set them aside and said, I want you to emphasize this part of my fullness being lived out through you. And so you have the same Jesus living in you, but you don't have time to do all that all the time. That's what Mark's called to do. You with me? So you celebrate. Oh, Mark's demonstrating to us an expression of the fullness of Christ. But in those places, in doing what I do or you do, working in a bank, you got 420 children like Father does, and you're trying to, or 5,000 dogs like the Phillies do. You're spending a lot of time walking them and doing stuff. But when you do those things, you want to be able to walk in the same kind of anointing. Now, the anointed one is Jesus, and he's tapped into an anointing in that arena. So when he prays for me, because he's walking in a faith level, one of the things that God does, it's sacramental. You mean sacramental can be charismatic? It's the most charismatic thing I've ever done. Eucharist is the most charismatic thing I've ever done. You have to get nutso charismatic to believe it. Right? That bread and wine is the body and the blood, though it looks like bread and wine. It tastes like bread and wine, but it's actually the body and the blood. That takes a charismatic to believe that. So I'm going to hurt your feelings. All of you who hate religion. If you hate religion, it's because you have a religious spirit. And here's the deal. The most serious, worst, meanest religious spirit are those who hate religion. What was I saying? Because that was fun saying that. Huh?
You were talking about being partaking.
Yeah, but no, I was doing something really... I know, no. You guys, you're reversing way too far. Anyway. Every Roman Catholic that I know who believes that's the body and the blood of Jesus is more charismatic than anybody in this room. Hello? Yeah. They believe in something so ridiculously non-sensual. So then you get a Roman Catholic, and then you get them to look at all the other stuff, enter in all the stuff. They're the craziest, wackiest, most anointed people in the world. Is that true, Rosemary? You ever been around Betty Brennan, those of you who've been around with us for long? Nutso. Just spirit-filled, because she believes that every time those bells ring, a miracle's taking place. That's a bigger miracle than anything you've ever seen. It's bigger than raising the dead. It raised bread and wine above bread and wine. It becomes the body and the blood of Jesus. Now, if you don't believe that, you're not very charismatic. Because the Bible says it. So don't impress me with who you are as a charismatic. You can't believe that one. That's the big one. And when you believe that, it makes it easy to believe all the other ones because they're not near as ridiculous as that one. And it's got nothing to do with being Roman Catholic. Am I telling the truth, Patilo? Yes, I is. That's got nothing to do with the story I was telling. But when he would pray for me, because he's walking in a level of faith, appropriating grace, the same grace I have, but I'm just not walking in it. And when he prays for me, there's an impartation. There's what he's got stirring up in me so that I'm walking in a level in the calling I'm called in to, at the same with that same kind of thing. You with me? It may not be my ministry to run around and do impartation all the time. There may not be an apostolic thing on me. That does make a difference. Alrighty, and I'm going to give you a rule too. You better be under some kind of apostolic covering if you're going to do stuff like that, or you're going to get your brains beat out. You will fall on your face. And you'll have very unloving people standing around you as you're on the floor going, I told you so. Do you understand impartation? Yes. So just stir stuff things in. So let me just tell you this story. And this is starts with Mark. And I guess Rosemary too. Everything Mark does, Rosemary's responsible for too. I understand. It just comes out more filtered from Rosemary. But they're in this thing together. And so a couple years ago, Blue Jean, they were all going to go to this conference down in Orlando. And I didn't want to go. I'd been to more conferences in my lifetime. I didn't want to go to any more conferences. And so Mark just keeps pestering me about going to this conference. I'm going, Mark, my schedule, I want to go to the conference, yada, yada, yada. And he said to me, look, Bishop, it's really good for our relationships with Blue Jean. That's the thing he used with me. It was a word of wisdom, but the Lord can be, if the Lord manipulates, it's not sin. It was so manipulative. And I thought, yeah, I love Bob and I love all those guys. And so that would be good. That's true. And so I went. And so I didn't go like, when I went, I didn't want to go. You know, when I decided to go, I said, this would be cool. And so there's about 7,000 people in this 10,000 seat thing. And I've been to plenty of conferences in the past. I went to Wimber stuff. You know, you understand where we've been, where I've been. I've done the barking, the falling, the shaking, the rattling, the growling. We've done all that, you know, rolling around the floor all the time. Can't get in the building because you're on the floor. I've done all that. That's not a shocker to me. There were some cool things that happened. Like there was one guy that was in the flesh. I watched it happen. But he was like a few rows, remember that guy? And he was just crawling around and all the young people around him were like, oh, this is so cool. But I knew where this was heading, but I figured it's not my place. I'm not going to do anything about it. They won't appreciate it if I try to correct it. And it took him about an hour to work his way down under between people's legs. And sure enough, he got down there and at some point grabbed poor Heidi Baker, who's only about 2 feet tall, and she fell. I thought, well, but it didn't make me cry or go home or want to quit. I mean, you've heard me say that you're going to have the power, you're going to have some poop, but you can, it's a real balance. And I watched them as they live in this realm, and I watched them to try to not over-police, but you got to police at some level. So, I mean, you don't just do poop to do poop, right? You don't go into a meeting and say, okay, everybody just spiritually poop all over the place, and we'll, there's got to be some maturity. I could sell it. It bugged Bill Johnson. And he wasn't like mad, it's just part of it comes with the stuff, but still it's just like, anyway, so I just watched different things. And then, I don't know if it still is, in charismatic circles, like the popular thing to do was go, whoa, I thought, there are ghosts in this building. And it was hard, and it really was hard for some of the people to teach. And I thought, oh, this isn't all God, but that's okay, we'll survive. And so I wasn't upset. Wimber's stuff. Wimber was the first one, not the guy from South Africa. He was the first one to go in a meeting and say, give him joy, Lord. That's all he'd say. Give him joy. And then people would just, by the hundreds, just fall out laughing. They couldn't stop. That was way back in the 80s. For Rodney Howard Brown, it was before that. Yeah. And he would never raise his voice. He'd just, give him joy, Lord. Or he'd point off on the side of a room and go, God's doing something with you. I think it's right over there. And the whole three rows would just fall back about 10 feet against the wall. And go, that's cool. You know? But then I had, Livy was with me, which is like taking red meat into a dog pound. And so she's with me. And so I have some people come over. Some guy says, can I lay your wife on the floor and just get on top of her like it did in the Old Testament? And I said, no. No, but God told me to. No. He didn't tell you to. And no. So I'm just trying to tell you, I understand. And Olivia's looking at me like, are you going to let this guy? So anyway, the other cool things, that I've told that story before about standing up and anyway, shaking, and I discovered I didn't want to look stupid, and then I was shaking. I was about 50 pounds heavier. I had this blue shirt on, like those little Cuban shirts, like Gensimer wears. And I looked like a pharmacist, a giant pharmacist. And so, anyway, we're going to get to the praying for you part, trust me. You're not going to miss out. But I want you to just understand the history a little bit. And that was, 80s? It was a long time ago. And so I'm old enough to bend down the road. It was really interesting when I sat down with Randy Clark. We knew the same people. We'd been to some of the same conferences. We were about the same age. Oh, this is really cool, you know. But I was determined. I was still just coming into my experience of charismatic things. And I didn't want to look stupid. And so I was determined that I wasn't going to look stupid. And when a guy wanted to lay my wife on the floor and lay on top of her, that reinforced, Lord, I don't want to be that guy. You know, I'll be something, but don't want to be that guy. I don't want to walk around and ask strangers if I can lay on top of their wife so they can get healed, you know? So anyway, I kind of was hidden. I was learning. I was growing. And then Wimberg has this thing where he prays for pastors. He said, all the pastors, well, I'm not going to go up there because I watched what happened to people when he prayed for them. He had these big old fat heads and things would happen to them that was weird or at least embarrassing. I knew it was God. But I didn't want it happening to me. And so I just sat there. And he said, this is like your last chance, all you pastors. And Olivia yells out on purpose, you're a pastor, Chuck. How come you're not going up there? So I went up there. And I got at the farthest line. This huge place is in a hotel. It sat several thousand people. And we're right in front of the stage. And I'm at the very end because I didn't want anybody to see me. And then I'm praying. He had several people helping him pray. I didn't want him to pray for me. So I'm begging for somebody else, right? And so I'm standing up there and he goes along and he prays and different stuff. And then he stops and walks right over to where I'm at. I think, oh no. And because I'd watch what was happening to people who came before me, and he goes, he spoke something to me. And he did some ministry with me. And then he said, give him more, Lord. No more, no louder than that. Give him more, Lord. And then all of a sudden, I started shaking like a leaf. I couldn't stop it. And I'm praying in tongues real loud. And I'm thinking, God, thank you that I'm at the end of this line, and maybe not everybody's seeing me, and I can't stop shaking. And then he walked back by and said, give him more, Lord. And so I'm just like going, yeah. But I did the dumbest thing I've ever done. I'm not going to go out on the floor because that would be even more stupid looking, right? So I spread my legs and I went. So I look like this giant oak tree, this giant pharmacist oak tree. And finally, literally after about 15 or 20 minutes, I looked up and in front of me was a camera, a television camera. And it was on international television. That was a breakthrough experience for me about not being embarrassed. You don't have to do that. I'm just telling you, don't tell God you're not going to do something. He's liable to pick you up and toss you across the room. And this idea about the Holy Spirit being a gentleman, lies, 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 lies. Alrighty. I always laugh. I say, I know there's got to be, like in Taiwan somewhere, like some people who are in their 30s now and sitting around talking to each other, go, oh, you remember that time when a giant pharmacist was like, wah, 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 wah. Because he was on international television. It was one of those things he did, was on international television. Anyway. So go to this conference, and Bob is running around like a chicken with his head cut off. We got to get Randy Clark to pray for us. We got to get Randy Clark to pray for us. Because Randy Clark will say that his great calling in life is impartation. And so I'm thinking, man. And so finally, Bob made it happen. And so, but we only had a few minutes. It was a group of us from Selma, and we only had a few minutes. And he was coming out of this meeting, one of the side meetings, and we're standing out in this huge lobby with a gazillion people walking around. You understand what I'm saying? You know, I didn't quite get it like I was supposed to have gotten it. Giant pharmacist thing. And so he just gets us in two rows and said, he explains again about the impartation thing. And I was just like going, I don't want to do this. 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 So he starts down the line and he's just touching people. And I finally repented. Whatever you want to do. So it's always been the key for me. Lord, whatever you want to do, do it. Because I want everything in my experience. So he comes along, he taps me, and out I go. You know? Now, when I go out in a public place, it's not obscure. I'm not like a little person. But I landed, it was perfect. I landed, my head was on Rosemary's purse, and it was really comfortable. So I don't know if everybody's out for, I know Bob was somewhere next to me, but Bob stays on the, he lives on the floor anyway, and so and it's not hard for Bob, he's little and he's short. You know, and so, but I had this vision, and God spoke this thing. This vision was happening. I was on the floor, and in this vision, I saw myself getting in a canoe. And the canoe was an Indian canoe, and it was painted. It was a wooden canoe. It had all the paintings on it, just classical thing, but it was new. And I was in the canoe by myself with one oar and nothing in the canoe with me except that one oar. And I saw the hand of God push me out. And he pushed me out in this river, and the water was just jumping. It was like living water. And then there was little fish jumping up. It was living water full of life. And the Lord said, I'm launching you out into a new river of living water full of life. And so those of you who know me, and I wrote, and we shared things, what happened, and I pondered all that, and I knew some things that it meant. And so when I came away from that conference, I think I was kind of heading there anyway, but I came back and said, that part of the fullness of Christ, I'm not stewarding very well, the healing ministry. I prayed for people. We saw people get healed every now and then, but I wasn't very intentional. I do one thing at a time well, and so that's hard for me to do all the different things. And so we prayed, but it was like ho-hum prayer. A lot of charismatics say, well, ho-hum, I'll pray. There's no expectation, there's no intentionality, and I wasn't seeing the grace being released through me that it should have been, because that's part of the all grace. And so I became very intentional from that point that at the season of my life, I'm going to make sure I'm cooperating and walking in the level of faith I'm supposed to walk in to steward that part of the fullness of Christ. And so I'd read everything. I'm an obsessive person. So I can consume information, lots of information in a short period of time. So I consumed everything. I went back. We taught it. We taught Wimmer's book, The Five Steps to Healing, many years before that. Saw some healings. I've seen healings over the years. But I didn't stay intentional. You with me? I got busy doing other things. And so in September, which would have been just about maybe 6 weeks later, Luke and I drove to Springfield, Missouri, where Clark's crew were doing one of their school of healing things. And so he went with me, and we went, and my purpose there, Rosemary helped me make it happen, I wanted to meet with him. Because I'd read everything I knew to read in such a short period of time. I was praying, but I wanted to talk to him and say, this is what I'm after. Am I doing something wrong, or is there something more I need to do right? I was out of flown anywhere in the world. And I was driving everybody around me crazy. And so we were the first persons he got to see. Rosemary had been texting Paul Martini, and they were so gracious. He made it happen first. We were the first ones because he wanted to meet us and meet me, you know. And he was pumped about the fact that an archbishop from a denomination was coming, and so we got to sit with him. And they said we could have it 15 minutes. We had about 30, 35 minutes. As we sat and talked, we just talked about some of the history we had and stuff like that. And he said, so I told him what I was after. And he said, so what you're saying is this. He said, you hold an apostolic office. And you have an apostolic anointing, but you want that apostolic anointing to be fully released in your life. I said, absolutely. That's what I'm after. And so he prayed for Luke Hugh. When he prayed for me, this is what he prayed. It's a really simple prayer. If you know Clark, he didn't raise his voice, doesn't get very pumped. He just prays like he was a child of Wimber. And he and Johnson both, their model is a lot like Wimber, their personalities. And they don't scream and holler and yell. There's nothing wrong with screaming, holler and yelling, Mark. I'm just saying that they're just real simple. And so he just prayed for me and he said, Lord, he said, I pray that he would have the same impact in his sphere of influence that I've had in my sphere of influence. Very simple. I didn't fall out on the floor. I didn't do any of those things. Now later, I'll tell you one funny story. Later, like he said, look, why don't you just shadow me? He said, go, I travel around the world, just shadow me, hang out with me. I said, I'd love to do it. I said, this is what God will do. But later they had the impartation service. And so he's running, praying for people. And because I want him to pray for me again. But he would get real close and then turn away. And I was getting really upset. I'd get my feelings hurt. He thought I was shadowing him. He had no intention to pray for him. He would look at me and smile. I'm going, pray for me. Don't smile at me. But he thought I was. Anyway, at some point in the stuff, in one of those meetings, I was out on the floor and I just texted some of the people who pray for me and who've been praying for me about this search. And I said, what do I do next? What do you think? And they said, we believe that it's done. Not that you don't keep seeking and learning, but it's done. Rosemary sent me a word. God says that he's given you a recipe. You walk in your recipe. It doesn't mean it's the only recipe or the best recipe, but you got to be who you are, right? And so when I'd come home from the conference in Orlando, the Lord, one of the things that God, first thing God taught me was, he said, what was normal, before the fall or after the fall? I said, before the fall. He said, therefore, everything that looks weird or different, it's not, he said, sickness is abnormal. And the kingdom of God is to bring back normal. And that became a real key phrase for me. This isn't normal, I'd say. And that's why we're praying for normal. But here's the part of the story. Now, 2 years out from that, you can see things happening, but only as you walk past that a little bit and look back at it. And 2 years out, when I was in Brazil, because one of the things that was happening in Brazil, we saw it in Africa again this last time, just a real authority, a release of authority and stuff, you know. And the Lord said, he reminded me of going to Orlando and then going to Springfield. And he said, it's exactly what happened to you, Chuck. You see, I'd not been to Africa for 5 years. That door was closed. I didn't think I'd ever go again. When I came back from Springfield, within 3 weeks, I was asked by my authority to go to Africa and to do some pastoral stuff and some administrative stuff. And I said, well, can I take a team of people with me to help pray? We'll do that on our own dime. Yeah. So that door opened. And 2 months later, I'm sitting at lunch at Landry's, and we talked about Azen Roars. And I said, why don't you just come on board? And Azen Roars was birthed. And over these last 2 years, we've seen literally thousands of people get healed. And that's not my primary calling, like it is Mark's life. I'm called to steward and carry and experience the fullness of Christ in me and through me every day. But what there is a calling in my life is an apostolic calling. You see, and what happened with Randy Clark prayed for me, because he was walking in that grace at a higher level than I was. He didn't try to teach me anything. He just said, Lord, may he have the same impact in his sphere of influence that I've had in my sphere of influence. And as we look back over these last 2 years, we go, wow. Between our trips to Africa and Brazil, between probably 5 and 6,500 people have been healed. We saw an extraordinary manifestation of percentage of people when we went to Brazil. I was expecting about 50%, because that's what really seasoned, awesome people who went, so that's usually their deal. It was more than that. It was close to 80%, and some places higher than that. And we weren't like trying hard. We were just doing it. Okay? And we were just following the recipe. And the recipe is what I told you before, that during that season, before I went to Orlando, I was crying out to God, God, I want it all. And I've been every day, I want it all, I want it all, I want it all, I want it all. And the Lord said, so do I, Chuck. And he said, I get to go first. And I laugh about that, but it wasn't funny, but it was awesome. He just began to speak to me, even about this thing, about unbelief and yada, yada, yada. Then I was lighting candles one day, and I said, God, I really want it all. And he said, you've got it all. You've always had it all, like every other Christian. He said, you got it all. I said, but I want to experience it all. He said, well, then receive it all, because that's the way the Christian life works. Oh, wow. And I look back over these last 2 years, I look back and I go, that's exactly what God's taught me. But that's what he's been telling me my whole Christian life. But the impartation helped release that grace that was already in me, stirred it up, you know? And stirred it up so that it was easier for me to receive it all. So here's my prayer tonight. My prayer is that this is very simple. I'm going to be praying for you, and I, under my covering, I got some other people going to be praying for you too. And they carry the same apostolic calling on their life because of our connection. When I was in Springfield, that's what Randy Clark did. He couldn't pray for all those people. But he said, but I've got some other people here, and they carry, they're under my covering. He said, they're under my authority. And he said, and so they're going to pray for you, and what I would give you, they can give you, because we're functioning as one. And so that's what I want to do. In the time we have left, I want to pray for those of you who came for the weekend or whoever. And I can tell you, when I look back over those 2 years, it's stunning to watch the elevation of the experience and the release of anointing in that arena. Some of you have been with us to some of the In America conferences that we do. You know, as you read the back of As and Roars, it has the things we're going to do. There's also, in March, we're going to Birmingham, and we're trying to plan this thing in Africa. So there's every month, and I'm still a pastor of a church and a CC bishop. So, like, I really didn't have time to go tomorrow, but sometimes I have to act like a CC bishop, and they needed me to come and do their thing. But we're going to pray for you, and we're just going to ask an impartation. And I believe God's going to do it. And your experience doesn't, well, in Randy Clark's office, I mean, I had the vision and stuff in Orlando, but in his office, nothing happened. We were just brothers talking to each other. He got pumped about getting to go to Africa because he hadn't been to Africa much. He said, hey, I want to go to Africa. You know, he invited me to go there to Brazil and all those kind of things. But I'm just, all we're going to do, it's a transaction. But now if the Holy Spirit does something, then let him do it, right? Just want you to say, God, whatever you want to do, do. But here's one of the things, I've prayed for impartation before, but from that thing in Orlando, in Brazil, as I looked back and I saw this 2 year period, it was just such an extraordinary, everything happened as a result after that, that we're just trying to steward and handle. So I'm very grateful. And it was somebody I really trust. I really trust Clark. I trust his walk. I just trust his demeanor. I trust everything about him. I'll be forever, forever, ever grateful to Mark and Rosemary for manipulating me to go to that conference. And I learned some stuff. And so we're still talking about the fullness of Christ. But this is one of those cool little ways that one of the spokes of grace gets activated through impartation. And so let's do it, okay? You know, I was going to talk for 15 minutes. And that's embarrassing because I know I can't do that. And the rest of you who know me really well are ashamed of me for talking more than I need to. But I hope some of the stories help. But I can tell you from my own personal experience, so I have a higher level of faith now. I believe in impartation. The Lord spoke that to me that day. I was riding here to church. I was going, Lord, why do you have to do that? Why do you have to do that? This is right after the whole Orlando thing. And he talked about going through the door called for more. I thought, cool. You don't get more. You just enter into more in the arena that that person might be walking in. Okay? So I want Mark and Rosemary. I want Dan and Deborah. Where's Craig? Craig, you want to come help us? Patilo? I'm kind of picking team members because I've walked into stuff with them a lot. And Dan and Deborah and Mark and Rosemary, you can actually stand together and do it. So, contrary to what I've done, I know, Dan, this is because there's a grace. Yes, you can be together. Patilo, come. Craig, are you coming? Father, David, you feel good enough to help us? Come, Father Paysinger. Lord, I just pray that the anointing that's been released in me for impartation, the apostolic anointing, would be on all these, Lord. And I just thank you. I just thank you, Lord, for this thing that you do. This causes our body, the body of Christ, to connect together. And, okay? So, if that's something you would like, I'll tell you what will help, guys, if we'll stand behind the altar rail so that they have room. And we need some catchers, because that might happen. We need catchers. Catchers, catchers, catchers. Yes, young men with good backs, or old men with good backs, either one. Okay? And so I just encourage all the team, there's grace to do what you're going to do. And so let the Holy Spirit do what He wants to do, and if it looks exotic, fine, and if it doesn't, it's still happening. Amen? So there's no pressure on you to do anything other than just receive. And let the Lord do it. And I promise you, I'm telling you, if you have any faith about it at all, it's going to happen. You're going to see a change. Now, you're going to have to walk that out. You're going to have to cooperate. You're going to have to be good stewards of what God's, but you're going to just see opportunities, things happen, change. Amen? Okay. So, if you desire for impartation, just come. Okay? To the altar.